So the Denver Nuggets avoid the 3-0 series hole. It was a crazy game last night where the Lakers fell way back, got within three with about 5 minutes left, and then things just fell apart as Denver cruised to the win.
All right, Mace, John, I need an honest answer out of you about something before we get rolling here. Honest answer. Uh-huh. When Jamal Murray dunked with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it kind of felt like an exclamation point. The Lakers went down 20. Murray dunks, timeout Lakers. Did you turn the game off and flip to the Dodger game?
No, I did not turn the game off. Dodgers had already clinched the division. They were up, I think, 4-1 when I was flipping back and forth. So, of course, I wrote out the game. I mean, I'm
they
using the back button. I'm going,
pulled it off, man.
I'm going Lakers. I'm going Dodgers, Lakers, Dodgers, Lakers, Dodgers all night long. But, no, I did not turn the Lakers game off.
I was hoping you didn't.
And you know what? And I want to talk about this in a different way. Now, you probably rightly said that I was a little bit on the cocky side yesterday.
You were fully enthused. I'll give you that.
And you know what I thought afterwards? This is exactly what the Lakers needed. They needed a little reality check.
They
needed a little fight from an opponent.
Oh, screw that.
No, just like they lost a game to Portland, just like they lost a game to Houston, they lost a game now to Denver, and I think it's a healthy loss for the Lakers to take.
Had they not come back,
it would have been
this would
slaughter.
Be a different show today. This would be we'd be like, what the hell happened? But if I'm Denver, I'm sitting over there. Do you see how fast the Lakers erased that lead?
Oh, yeah, really
fast. When
they
went on that 19-2 run, and it was smothering. Man, they just ran out of gas. Denver's too good of a team to take the first half off.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like the Lakers were a little guilty of that.
The Lakers were. I mean, their defensive intensity was not there. They were not. And by the way, and this is something I'll
– and they all admitted this after the game, Kuzma and LeBron, and they all said what we're saying now.
So you know what boggles my mind? This is just an aside from the game. So I did a little math, this little sassy stat. How many
you
times
did
think,
math? You and I aren't good at math.
I think this is mostly right. How many free throws do you think LeBron James has shot in this series?
LeBron James, not a lot. I would say, okay, three games. I would say maybe 18.
10.
Wow.
10.
Really?
How many has Jokic gone to the line? How many times?
Oh, probably 30.
24 times. LeBron has only been to the line for 10 free throw attempts in three games so far.
You know why that
Something
is?
Something is wrong.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
LeBron is unguardable in transition. He's so big and so fast that the only thing the other team can do is kind of knock him off balance or grab him.
Yep.
And if the refs called it every time, the game would be 4 hours. This is the Shaq dilemma.
Still 10 free throws.
You're right. I mean, you're right. He should go to the line more. But there's at least two or three times a game where you'll hear me describing the game and I'll say, LeBron got fouled. And you know what happens a lot with LeBron is he'll go on a fast break. He'll split the defense. He'll score. And the ref is holding his whistle waiting to see if the ball goes in. If it doesn't go in, then he'll blow the whistle.
Right.
And if it does go in, he'll let it go. And that's not fair. A foul is a foul. You got to call it. But LeBron is so big.
Yep.
And there's never been a package like him in NBA history. A guy 6'8", 260 pounds with no body fat. He's like a tight end in football. You can't stop him that the officials don't know how to officiate him. But the thing I took away from that game last night was not, oh, crap, the Lakers lost. It was, did you see when they flipped the switch?
Yeah.
Fast.
And they went to that zone defense, and that smothered them. It worked like the zone defense is working like crazy in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, it was a really, really crazy and wild fourth quarter. Denver probably deserved to win that game.
Yeah,
they hit
probably.
More shots. They did more things. And, Mace, here's the thing. Of all the sassy stats that came out of the game last night, this is the one that decided the game, in my opinion, and not enough people are talking
about it. See if it's the same thing as mine. Go ahead.
According to Second Spectrum,
look at you going to Second Spectrum. Okay. I love this.
They shot 0 for 9 on threes.
Yeah.
When the closest defender was 6+ feet away.
Yeah, that's
including
crazy.
Including 0-for-3 in the final 5 minutes of that game.
Yep.
AD had one, LeBron had one, Kuzma had one. This is the most attempts without a make in this postseason. That's what did him in. I mean, they've been hitting threes pretty consistently in the playoffs. And last night they weren't. And then the open threes Denver made and the Lakers didn't. And had the Lakers made even half of those, you know, what did I just say? They went 0-for-9. They make 4 of those.
Yep.
And they win the game. 4 of the 9.
This is one of the concerns, and I'm not quite sure I understand why this is, but it's a sassy stat. AD, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard combined for 4 rebounds. How is that possible?
Okay, here's what I think's happening. Denver, the Lakers switch everything on defense, and the Laker bigs often get switched onto guards. And the Lakers are lucky because they have agile big, like Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis can jump out on guards.
Yeah, they can jump out, go to the perimeter
but
and follow.
When they do that, Anthony Davis is 20 feet, 25 feet away from the basket when the shots go up. So he's not in a position to get his normal rebounds. He said after the game that it was all on him and that even though they're pulling him away from the basket, he has to figure out a way to go in there and get rebounds. And he can also get offensive. He averages 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Last night he had 2. And they were both, by the way, at the very end of the game. The fourth quarter started, he had no rebounds. I know why. It's because the Lakers are switching things defensively and Jamal Murray is pulling him away from the basket. But the Lakers have got to figure out a way to get those big guys some rebounds, and I think they will tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to. That was an outlier. That was fluky. By the way, Paul Millsap did a really nice job on Anthony Davis. He's going to be the primary defender on Anthony Davis for the rest of the series. Davis,
well, the guy, one of seven,
when Millsap was covering him.
The guy you didn't see coming was Jerami Grant. That's a playoff career high for Jerami Grant, 26 points. And
he defended LeBron a lot, too.
Right. And so the Lakers...
And still was able to score.
The Lakers have been pretty solid throughout the playoffs. They were 10-2 before last night. They really hadn't laid an egg. But this series is closer than people think. It's closer than you think.
Yeah, closer than at the beginning of the series, I said Lakers in 5. Yesterday, I had some fun saying, hey, it's going to go a sweep. Now, I'm sticking with my original prediction, which is Lakers in 5. You had Lakers in 6. There's not much difference.
Right, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I hope it is Lakers in 5. But here's how close this is. There have been 12 quarters, you know, obviously, 3 games. The Nuggets have won 7 of the 12 quarters.
Wow.
And the Lakers have only outscored Denver by a total of 7 points. LA is averaging 112 a game. Denver's averaging 110. So it's that close. I mean, the Lakers are better. I think the Lakers are going to win. By the way, LeBron, 22-0 when his team takes a 2-game-to-none lead in the playoffs.
There you go.
So, I mean, I think the Lakers have this under control, but Denver is good. They're not. I never thought this was a sweep.
I never said they weren't good. I just think the Lakers are so much better.
They might be. If the Lakers win in 5, that's pretty indicative of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think gentleman sweep is probably the way to go, and I still believe straight to the title, John.
But, Mace, think about this.
Yeah.
Had Anthony Davis not hit that shot, it'd be 2-1 Denver.
Yeah.
I'd still be picking the Lakers, even if that was the case.
Yeah, me too.
I just think the Lakers have LeBron. But they're going to have to earn it, and it means that Saturday night, we get a game 5, and if the Nuggets win another game, we get another game Monday. So, you know, right now I'm hoping Lakers win tomorrow, Lakers win Saturday, and then they're on to the finals. But Denver's good, and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are really good. So you got to respect that.
Yeah, I'm curious from people on the phones. Any concern? You know, Denver has done this now a couple of times, come from behind in a series. They came from down 3-1, down 3-1.
Yeah, it's almost like we'd be smarter tomorrow night. The Lakers would be smarter to lose that game so they weren't down 3-1.
So they didn't have to scrap all the way back in.
But that's stupid. I Lakers, win the game, and let's go. Let's take our chances up 3-1.
Yeah, but is there any concern? And what adjustment would you like to see Coach Frank Vogel to make? By the way, Rondo, 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Playoff Rondo did not show up till the fourth quarter last night, but boy, did he.
I mean, he turned into a steal machine. What do you have, two or three steals?
Three steals.
In the final couple of minutes of that game?
He also had 9 points and 8 assists. He affected the game fine. The guys who really struggled last night were Caruso, Danny Green, and Kuz. Those guys weren't their normal selves. But it's only one game. And the Lakers are up 2-1, and they have the two best players. So
yes.
I feel good about it.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. We got so much coming up for you today.
Yeah, Sean McVay's coming on this hour, right?
Yeah, Sean McVay will be with us somewhere around 1:30 today. A little bit later on, all kinds of injuries in the NFL. Dr. Clapper is going to join us.
Yeah!
And then a moment of zen. Everybody's a little bit worked up. A lot of sports.
Is Phil Jackson coming on?
No, about to go into the Major League Baseball playoffs. Rams 2-0. All the NFL teams you love. No, moment of zen. Deepak Chopra will join us.
I like this music.
I have a playlist with this music on it. It's really weird.
What do you use that playlist for?
Meditation.
Oh yeah, how often do you meditate?
Not as much as I should, but you know, Ben Lyon's wife Mariah taught me how to meditate, and she does it every single day. I probably do it once a week.
Deepak is going to join us. It's meditation. His book is called Total Meditation. It is his 91st book. He leads me 91 to nothing in writing books. And he will join us at 3:30 today.
That's just a head start.
Yeah, he's got a head start. I take me in the point.
He's written 91 books?
Yeah, 91 books. He just cranks these things out.
Boy, that's painful to even think about.
Yeah, really hard. All right, so we'll get some phone calls in here next. And Coach McVay at 1:30, 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mesa in Ireland, thank you so much for being out there. We appreciate you. And Lakers lose last night. They now lead the Denver Nuggets in that series 2-1. By the way, the Eastern Conference Finals, which we will have that game for you tonight, Miami and the Celtics, that is a Miami 2-1 lead. So the Celtics are in a position where they really can't afford to drop behind 3-1. So Brad Stevens and the Celtics will be scrapping hard tonight. And Coach Sean McVay is going to join us at 1:30. So make sure you're here for that.
All right. Here is Tim in Newport, wants to talk about the Laker game last night. Hey, Tim, you're on 710 ESPN.
It's Ken, but that's okay.
All right, Ken.
Jorge doesn't understand English yet, but he's working on it.
Don't say that.
Come on, man.
He speaks perfect English.
I got two issues. Number one, late in the game, you got about a minute and a half left. You need 3-pointers. You got Rondo and Caruso. They're 0-for-5. They shouldn't have been in there. You should have had your 3-pointers. The bigger issue is the Lakers hired two coaches, Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins. Defensive coaches. Both of them decided they didn't want to be in the bubble.
Kidd's in the bubble, Ken.
Jason Kidd is in the bubble.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Then I take part of that back.
Do you withdraw your point?
And I was told, well, Hollins, yeah. I don't know if it was Lionel's choice. Because he was older, I think the Lakers made a decision that they would only take a certain amount of coaches. But I know he wanted to be there. It just didn't work out. I'm sure he's texting with him. It's very tough to criticize this coaching staff, though, Ken, because they're the favorites to win the title. It's just one game. What's your specific criticism of them?
Well, the Lakers didn't come out to play hard. It was almost like they were cruising. I think Caruso, Kuzma wasn't good. Rondo was a minus 13. And the team just didn't look like they were all together. Obviously, the biggest issues was the rebounding. And that was some good coaching by Denver. They had, if you look at the first quarter, right, all their baskets were underneath the basket. That should never happen to the Lakers.
Right. Well, the Lakers did outscore them points in the paint, Ken, but you're right. The rebounds, I think, were 44-25. It was super lopsided towards Denver, yeah. And that's an indication of a team that was, you know, that knew if they didn't show up, their season was over.
Yeah.
If these game threes are hard to win, especially when you're up 2-0, I'll be very anxious to see what happens tomorrow night. But, Ken, I still think they're going to win the title, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. My issue is my wife is Serbian, and I have to listen to
her screaming
and yelling about her, Jokic. I had to leave the house because it was so irritating.
Well, yeah. He's really good, but, yeah, I wouldn't want to hear about him all the time. I totally understand, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I think it'll
thank
be a
you,
different
–
Tim, thank you. Jorge, since Mason was giving you a hard time about teaching him dirty words in Spanish, I was trying to let you off the hook. I was trying to say that, you know, it was a language barrier thing.
I asked him,
Tim, right? He said, Tim. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Jorge, how confident are you that this guy, next guy is Leon?
Pretty confident. I double-checked with him as well.
All right, Leon, okay, is that your actual name?
Leon, yeah.
Okay,
hey, Leon.
Excellent work there, Jorge.
Hey, how you guys doing, Mr. First Time Caller?
Thanks for coming on, man. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you guys I'm glad you guys are back on in earlier in the daytime. I can listen to you better.
We are too, man. We are too. Thanks a lot for listening.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I just wanted to say one quick thing. Why does it take Danny Green so long to get warmed up? I mean, he's been in the bubble for like what, 2 months? It's like why did he hit one or two shots and then he disappears the rest of the game. And it's like, you know, I mean, come on now. I mean, I know you gotta get warmed up, but everybody else making their shots. I mean, Rondo just came back in the bubble and he's playing great.
What I was gonna say is it wasn't just Danny Green. The Lakers were 0-for-9 on wide open threes. Think about that. Wide open threes with nobody there.
Nobody within 6 feet of them.
Kuz, Caruso, LeBron, they've been making that shot. And last night didn't go, and they still almost pulled off a miracle comeback. Didn't you think, Leon, when they cut it to 2, that the Nuggets were on a cliff ready to, you know, kind of tip over?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought LeBron would kind of take over, but I think they were all kind of tired at the end.
They did look gassed.
Maybe.
They expended an awful lot of energy getting back into that game, and then it just fell short, and they didn't shoot well, and I think they were outscored 13-6 in the final 5 minutes of the game, so Denver was able to pull away. I still have a great level of confidence, John, in this team. I still believe we are going to a championship, and
Straight get rid of that stupid sound.
Straight to the championship.
That sound is an insult, Leon. Hey, Leon, thanks. Most of all, thank you for listening. We're glad you finally called in.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Have a great day. Here is Jimmy on line 3. Hey, Jimmy, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. What's up? Long, long time listener, and I'm excited to finally make a call.
Excellent.
Awesome, man.
Glad to have you, Jimmy.
I'm with Mason. I think we got it. I think we got it in 5 games. I mean, we played terrible the first half, and the Lakers' ability to just turn the switch on in the fourth quarter was insane, and it was amazing to see. It just sucks that it happened so late, and the veterans were obviously tired. And if I'm not mistaken, AD and LeBron didn't rest in the fourth, right? And it's just, you know, getting it down to 3 points, and we had a couple of opportunities there, too, you know, a few mistakes, a couple of turnovers. I think LeBron tried to get it in to the front court and, you know, screwed up a little bit. But just like you said, we might have been down 2-1. We could have been up 2-1 with a win in this game. So
3-0.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
hey, Jimmy,
you know,
thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it a lot. Great hearing from you.
Thank you.
All right. Cool. Jimmy, all right, so Sean McVay is expected to join us any minute. It all depends on how long it goes with the, you know, he's got, this is the day he does a lot of media. But hopefully we'll have the coach here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Also, by the way, very, very big, interesting baseball news that we'll throw in either before or after the coach. That's and coming
up
next for you.
I need Lindsay and Jorge to settle a dispute that is going to arise between me and you don't even know it yet.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know of a dispute.
Yeah, so I will okay. get their opinion coming up.
All that stuff is – that is so much stuff. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It is a big, big Wednesday, day after the Lakers lose to Denver. They still have a 2-1 series advantage. And, of course, the Rams are on the road this week at Buffalo after a 2-0 start. And we welcome in right now Rams head coach Sean McVay, powered by Valvoline. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Coach, and it was really fun watching the way your guys showed up in Philadelphia. Philly's always a tough place to win. You put 37 points on the board. But let me start with this. I don't even know if you're aware of this, Sean, but your team has played with the lead more than any other team in the NFL so far this year. And I think that's a tribute to your defense, that they're keeping the other team off the scoreboard, especially early. You've had so many personnel changes on defense. Why is this team gelled as quickly as it has?
It's a great group. You know, I think we got great leaders. I think our coaches have done an outstanding job. So I think it's always reflective of a collaboration amongst the guys. But when you look at our defensive leaders and Aaron Donald, Brockers, John Johnson, Jalen Ramsey. You see guys like Leonard Floyd. You know, Micah Kaiser's continuing to step up and play at a really high level. Good things are happening, and I think Brandon Staley's done an excellent job leading the way.
Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN, of course, the home of the Los Angeles Rams. So one of the things, during the home stretch last year, final four or five games, Jared found Tyler Higbee a lot. Found him three times in this game. Talk about the way you're using tight ends, and has it changed over year over year?
Yeah, you know, Tyler's done a great job. I think, you know, he happened to be on the receiving end of three of those plays where he ended up making them. Jared delivered great balls, but it's a lot of guys that are making plays for us. And, you know, our goal is to get as many people involved as possible, but Tyler's really picked up where he left off last year, playing really well, a lot of confidence, and very happy with him, and he and Jared have a great rapport and a great connection.
Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, joins us. Sean, you did something that a lot of NFL head coaches will never do. You went for it on 4th and 1 from your own 30-yard line in a one-score game. Take us through that decision and where you get the guts to try something like that. Most coaches would either get talked out of it. Did anyone try and talk you out of it, or is it something you had in the back of your mind that you just said, if that situation comes up, we're doing it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's number one, it's just the confidence in our players. So thought we needed the boost then. Was coming off of, you know, we were 21-16 at the time. Darius Williams had just made a pick. I thought it was important that we try to come away with points, and that was a situation there that felt good about our guys' ability to execute that play.
So we read an article this week. Lindsay Theory wrote it, who I'm sure you know, for ESPN, and she wrote about your sports psychologist professional that has been working with your team for the last few years. Tell us about her.
Are you talking about Dr. Hastings?
Yeah, Dr. Hastings, yeah.
Yeah, she does a great job. You know, I think in a lot of instances, you know, being able to have somebody that you can confide in and understand that everybody's working through a variety of different things, and to be able to have somebody that you can be vulnerable and trust in to be able to give you advice and perspective, you know, in the absence of some of the people that you deal with so closely in our building day in and day out is really important. And she's been a great sounding board for a lot of our people in our building, not exclusive to our players, and we're very grateful for Dr. Hastings.
Sean, you have running back injury issues. Both Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers are hurt. What's the running back situation going into Buffalo this week?
Yeah, the hope is both those guys will be ready to go. I think Darrell Henderson did an outstanding job maximizing his opportunities, making plays in the run in the pass, doing a good job in protection. And so, you know, fortunately, it's nothing to the extent that you're worried about them missing a bunch of time. I do believe that those guys will all be ready to go this week unless something changes, and I feel good about those three.
Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Joe Noteboom is another injury that you're dealing with. I want to ask you about that, but also ask you about the line play in general. The offensive line has been really, really sharp. It's the same group, for the most part, that played last year, but they seem sharper and more on it right now. What's going on with that group, and what's going on with Joe Noteboom?
Yeah, I think just the experience they gain, whether it's playing last year, getting more reps this offseason, having a, you know, just continuing to mature and grow. They're lifting, they're stronger. Coach Cromer does a really good job of developing that group. Joe's probably going to be out for a few weeks. The exact timetable, I don't know that, but fortunately for us, David Edwards was able to seamlessly step in. He played a lot of games last year, a lot of really good, productive football, and that's exactly what he did on Sunday when he stepped in for Joe, and we'll hopefully get Joe back sooner than later. But in the meantime, feel really good about David to be able to step in at left guard for us.
We're talking to Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. The Rams are 2-0, and they're heading to Buffalo this Sunday to try and make it 3-0 against the Bills. Coach, I think I read the other day that the Niners, in their situation's a little different than yours because they're playing in the same stadium 2 weeks in a row, but they elected to stay back east. I know that's something you guys have done in the past. This time you're not doing it. Was that decision COVID-related, or is that something you wanted to do and doctors advised against it? Or take us through the decision to decide whether or not to go back east, come home and go back, or whether or not to stay.
Yeah, ultimately what it boiled down to was learning a little bit more, some of the parameters around what we would have had to do had we stayed in Philadelphia, and just didn't feel like it was going to be best for our players. You know, allow them to be able to get back in their normal rhythm and routine. We so seamlessly travel cross-country, you know, with the way that we're able to do that now. And I thought our guys handled last week really well, and I expect a lot the same this week.
This week you get, again, in the early window, you get the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo is off to a very good start. Josh Allen has been spectacular since the start of the season. Talk about bottling up Allen, if you can, and the Bills in general.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're really playing really well in all three phases. Josh has done an outstanding job. You know, I think Coach Daboll, their offensive coordinator, is really putting them in good spots. You know, you had Stephon Diggs in the offseason. You already had some really good weapons in place. And then you just see a guy that's playing the position at a really high level, being able to make plays with his arm, with his legs. They present a lot of different problems for you defensively and a lot of playmakers that can make you pay. And then defensively, they make you earn every single yard. They're really tough. You know, Coach McDermott is a tough physical mindset, and you can see that's reflected in their team's identity, and it's going to be a really, really good challenge for our football team.
All right, last thing for me, Coach, and this is a weird one. The NFL yelled at you and a bunch of other head coaches for not wearing a mask. Yesterday they fined Coach Gruden, who I know you're friends with, and a bunch of other guys for not wearing their mask enough. How hard is it to remember to do that? Because you've been a coach your whole life. You've never had to wear a mask. You have to talk. You have a headset on. Is that just do you want to pay the get back coach to remind you to wear? How hard is that to do?
It's a challenge, you know, but, you know, you just have to be able to do it. I think they're serious about it. And if they had implemented that rule a little bit later, I probably would have been one of the ones getting fined, you know, from my behavior the first week. And I tried to learn, and fortunately I wasn't on that fine list.
Well, listen, Coach, we appreciate you coming on. As always, a 2-0 start. Fantastic. We're all excited about it and looking forward to seeing you guys Sunday in Buffalo.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
And Rams head coach Sean McVay's appearance is powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and to score money-saving coupons from Valvoline.
And obviously that thing with the mask, Mace, is they want to set a good example.
Yes.
And so they want coaches because
yeah, is there a safety issue or is it just setting an example?
I think both. But what's interesting is, so like, Jared Goff is speaking in the huddle. He's
right.
Obviously calling plays, and he can't wear a mask because he's in the game. And most of the time I see Sean McVay, he's talking, and he has his play sheet covering his mouth anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well, here's the thing I don't understand. If if this is secure, and it seems to be because there have been very, very, very few
positive
COVID
tests. Yeah, NBA head
coaches
do not wear masks, by the way.
Yeah, and so what is the mask about? Is it just symbolism?
Right.
I mean, these coaches are being tested like everybody else. You assume that they are clean, that they are COVID-free. So what's the big deal on the mask? I think it's just to send a message about the seriousness with which the league is taking the COVID crisis.
I think you're right. And also, I think the difference is, like I mentioned, NBA head coaches don't wear them, but the NBA head coaches are in a bubble. The
yes.
NFL head coaches are not. You know, they're free to come and go from practice and games, so they potentially, theoretically, could come in contact easier with someone who has COVID. It would be very difficult for Frank Vogel, for example, or Mike Malone to come into contact with anyone who has COVID because they've
sure.
been in a bubble for 60 days, and those guys are getting tested every day.
Exactly,
But I think the NFL's testing 3 times a week, and Sean is not in a bubble, so that's why they're making the coaches do it. But I felt like it was, you know, it was excessive to hit him as hard
too.
As the NFL did.
It was a $100,000 fine and then a $250,000 fine on the team. I mean, those are significant fines. I would imagine that nobody is going to go mask-free anytime soon with a $100,000 fine.
There's audio of Gruden saying, laughing Monday night in Vegas, saying the NFL's not fining me $100,000, and then
oops,
he practically dared him to do it, and he did it anyway.
All right, coming up next, John, I have got exciting, surprising baseball news. The MLB postseason bubbles may not be true bubbles after all.
Really?
I'll explain what I mean next.
Mason, are you going to the World Series?
Mason and Ireland, 710
wow.
ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. Where's my cake, John?
There is no cakewalk. The Nuggets are good, and tomorrow is a real
game.
This cakewalk
will end on Saturday. What do you say?
I hope you're right. Hey, all right, so I want to settle a dispute. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so Lindsay, you and Jorge will settle this.
Yeah, I don't even know this dispute.
Okay, you and I bet.
Yeah.
You said that the Major League, the Western Division title would come down to the last weekend.
Yes.
Last night the Dodgers clinched. I said the Dodgers will clinch by at least 5 games. Last night the Dodgers clinched by 5 games.
Yes.
So the bet is over, right? I win.
Well, you win. No, because they're within 5 games.
No, that was the bet. I win. I said the bet was the Dodgers will clinch by at least 5 games. You said it'll come down on the final weekend. I said in case it's a 4-game series that you would get 4. I said they'd win by at least 5, so I win. Now what I thought
the bet was will some team finish 5 games behind the Dodgers within 5 games.
Well, that's where the dispute is. Okay, so I think that now the division has been clinched. The Dodgers clinched by 5. The bet is over. I don't think you should be able to weasel out of it if the Dodgers play a bunch of bullpen games and play a bunch of minor leaguers this week, and let's say the Padres are within 2 at the end because it didn't come down to the last weekend.
Right.
Lindsay, is the bet over? George, is the bet over?
I think the bet's over.
I think the bet is over, and Mason can hang another banner.
There you go. So, Lindsay, $5,000 in my account. Take 5 out of Mason's account.
Wait a minute. Okay. Jorge, did you not take my side, or did you?
No, he took my side.
Yeah, John is right.
What the hell's the banner thing?
Because you like to hang
divisional banners. Oh, yeah.
You're Mr. Divisional Banner. You want
divisional.
You want to acknowledge their greatness for winning a series of divisional banners. Another banner for Mace.
All right, so here is the story. This is a Bob Nightingale exclusive, our friend Bob Nightingale.
Okay.
He says that the Major League Baseball is pressing to have fans at the National League Championship Series and the World Series. He says, quote, this is Manfred, we are pressing ahead to have fans. One of the most important things to our game is the presence of fans. Starting down the path of having fans in stadiums in a safe, risk-free environment is very important to our game. John, World Series, mm-hmm. National League Championship Series. Do you think they should have fans?
Yeah, I've argued that ever since I saw fans go into Kansas City and there's yep. been no like major outbreak, there were, Lindsay, weren't there some fans in Cleveland as well? Limited fans in Cleveland?
For the Browns game, yeah, they had 6,000.
For Browns Bengals? Yeah, Mace, yep. as long as they're doing that, why not do that in every sport? What's the, I don't understand. If they can do it in Cleveland and they can do it in Kansas City, why can't they do it in Arlington?
Yeah, I think that it's time. I think that it's time. I mean, we've seen it. Like, for example, there were, that we know of, there are 10 people that went to the Chiefs game who contracted COVID. There are 10. So there's a risk. There's a calculated risk that is involved here, and one that everybody needs to make for themselves.
But weren't there like 20,000 fans at that Chiefs game?
Whatever it was, yeah. So far, they know of 10 people that contracted COVID. So there's a chance by going to a game that you will contract COVID. That's just a natural thing. Entrances, exits, scooting down aisles, all that stuff, even though you try to get social distance, etc. But I, as a Dodgers fan, will take that calculated risk. I would, and whether by credential or by ticket, hopefully by credential, will go to the World Series to see the Dodgers. Will. Lindsay, what do you say? World Series?
I'm in. Let's go. Let's
Dodgers go. Indians? What do you? Dodgers Indians World Series?
I'm there either way. As long as the Dodgers are in it, I'm there. Now we just
nice. Now we'll go. Now, Lindsay, here's the difficult thing. Amanda has said, if you guys go, you're on your own.
You're
in
on
other
your
words,
own.
The station's not paying for flights.
Oh, we the could find station, somebody to sponsor it.
No, but apparently that's not an option, right, Mace?
No, not an option, according to Amanda.
It could be an option.
But if, okay, so if it's not, if
I'm
Amanda.
I'm texting with Tommy right now. He's already on top of it.
Okay,
he's already on top of it. Okay, good.
If it's unsponsored and you got to pay out of your own pocket and it's Dodgers Indians. Lindsay,
I definitely would pay out of pocket for that, for sure.
Because you know what? Flights are super cheap right now.
Yeah. I have so many flight credits, too.
Airbnb, cheap.
I don't like to Airbnb. I don't like to be in somebody else's house.
Didn't you do that at the last World
Series? I did.
Series?
I did it for the World Series in Boston. I hated it. And you know what I did? And I don't know if I broke the Airbnb rules, but I had trouble getting food. We were nowhere near food. And, of course, after the game, everything's closed up. So one night I went into their cabinets, and there was a jar of peanut butter, and I ate about half a jar of peanut
violation.
Butter.
Big violation.
Is that a violation for me to eat somebody's peanut butter?
I don't think it is.
I've never stayed in an Airbnb, so I don't know.
I used to Airbnb my house out when I owned my house in Cleveland, and I would Airbnb my house out because I traveled a lot for work.
Right.
And I purposely locked up anything that I didn't want anybody to touch. I locked it up in my attic. So I left, you know, like coffee, condiments, all that kind
really?
Of stuff. And I would even buy stuff for people, like bottled water and oatmeal and all that kind of stuff. And I think anything that isn't under lock and key, unless specified, I think it's fair game.
Really?
Well, I ate their peanut butter.
Wait,
let any Airbnb know that when I get there, I'm going to eat your peanut butter.
Now, I'm kind of a germaphobe. I work with Michael Thompson. It has to rub off me eventually.
Yes.
But, Mace, was the peanut butter new or had it already been opened?
That's a very good question. And the answer is...
And the fact
is,
that you're stalling means it's already open.
The answer is it had already been opened.
I couldn't do it.
Somebody else might have had a spoon in that peanut butter.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
See, I had like a separate set of stuff that was like anything. Like I said, I had little mini versions of everything. So I had everything on like a tray. So I would, like I said, lock stuff away. And my mom lived right around the corner. Anything, you know, I had everything on a tray. Like if I had things I didn't want them touching, like beer, alcohol, whatever, even though I'd leave some of that too. Take it over to my mom's house, put it in her fridge. So that way I didn't intermingle with the Airbnb stuff, I guess.
Hey, Mace, if you and Juan, let's say, went someplace for the summer, Okay, like you arranged, you could do that. You took a Comrex with you. You could do the show, and you go to Spain for the summer.
Yes.
Would you be comfortable Airbnb-ing your main house, the house you're living in now?
The answer to that is absolutely not.
Yeah, and I wouldn't either.
One of the reasons, John, is that we have a dog sitter who comes over and lives in the house while we are not here, so we don't have to put our dogs in one of those dog hotels or daycare situations.
Reagan the dog, those dog, you guys are smart to do that. I guarantee you, you're paying less to the dog sitter than I'm paying for her to go to the dog spa. It's not even a dog hotel. It's a friggin' spa where we send her, and so you're saving money that way anyway.
Yes, it is. It is a way to save money, but it's also a way to feel secure about the dogs. We got a great lady who comes over, so thank God for that. Because otherwise, we'd never be able to go anywhere. And by the way, Juan says I'm not allowed to go to the World Series.
That's well, wait a minute. Okay, I want you to send this exact note back to him, and then let me know how it plays out over the rest of the show.
Okay,
this is all you're allowed to say. You're not the boss of me. No precursor, no post note. You're not the boss of me. And the fight that will ensue will last at least till 4:30.
Yeah, who's the boss at your house, John?
Lisa.
Yeah, see, I'm not the boss of my own house.
Yeah, but
I don't run this place.
If I said that to her, if I said, hey, by the way, you're not the boss of me, it would not go well.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me. That's what I'm going to use
because
that line and see where I get with it.
She is. Yeah, and we both know it.
Yeah.
So I ain't getting anywhere.
All right. Coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the sports stuff that we haven't talked about yet today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.